Thanks so much. I'm so thrilled to be here, having come all the way from California by way of Iowa to visit my parents on the way. I thought, why do two long-distance flights? Just get it all out of the way. So thanks for inviting me, and thank you for coming. Most of all, I was thinking, oh, 1:30 right after lunch. I hope I'll keep you awake. And my hope is that you'll leave here today with some good takeaways or at least some food for thought. Okay, I'm going to start with a blank screen. It's not an accident. So let's start at the beginning. 5 years ago, my boss asked me if I would take on social media management as 50% of my job. And I said yes. And then this is how I first felt when I was knee-high into managing the main channels for UC Berkeley. Eventually, I did go to 100%. I demanded it. So little time, so many channels, so much to learn. Was this a good career move? That was actually, I hesitated. Will social last? Will this be a thing? Hard to believe that was just 5 years ago. It was a leap into the unknown. So I needed content and couldn't be in all places at all times. I also didn't have the time to create a lot of content on my own. I was focused at that time on increasing student engagement, specifically on Facebook, by being relevant. And yes, aiming for resonance. In some ways, a hat tip to the Ohio State University. And what did I know about being a UC Berkeley College student at this time? So my strategy was to bring the students to me. And so I started to recruit a student advisory team. And today I'm going to share this strategy for coping with multiple channels, a very, 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 very small staff, and a shoestring budget. So this was our vision. Hey, why not shoot for the moon? To be something that other students or other universities might want to emulate. Here were our goals, and I probably shouldn't have picked yellow, but anyway, it is our color though. Engage more current students were our goals. Create day-to-day relevance to students or a sense of place on social. Engage prospective students and alumni when possible. Encourage more students to follow our channels. And tell the Berkeley story on a shoestring budget, which I will repeat more than you probably want to hear, but that seems to be the story of my life. So, and our goals continued are that this would also, for the students, what would they get out of it as well, would be getting marketing experience, especially specifically with social media, mentorship, and leadership and professional development. I wanted this to be a win-win. This was our logo that we came up with. You always have to have a logo for everything, right? This is what we put out on social. We were basically wanting to recruit this team that had a passion for Berkeley first and social media second. We would meet for 2 hours every month on a Friday, and we would serve pizza, thus our logo. And here's our first ad. We recruited on Facebook, so I'll read it just, I know you can read, but we need a slice of student life, social media butterflies right this way. We're looking for Berkeley undergrads with their finger on the pulse of student life to give us their opinions on all things social media. And Sliver, which is this awesome pizza that we have in Berkeley, will be served. Interested in joining? And here they are. They brought their enthusiasm, insight, creativity, and various points of view. And I continued to preach that we could do a lot even though we had very little budget, because constraints create creativity. And we were off. So before I get going into sharing some campaigns that will illustrate, I think, the benefit of having a group rather than just interns, I want to show you or talk about four kind of core values, I think, that have helped us have success with bringing students into a group situation. And one would be respect, holding the belief that who they are and what they bring to the table is valuable and of value. And how we treat each other matters. Good communication is key. We always include time for reflection at the end of each meeting. We send out a Google form and ask them for their opinion on, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, was the content that we went over good? Was the pace of the meeting too slow? Any other comments, etc. And probably most key was that the leadership wasn't going to be just me. I felt like it was very important that the students see that I valued them so much that we have a student co-leader. And fortunately, I had a great student who was working with me as my assistant, like 15 hours a week, who volunteered to be my co-leader, and we co-created Social Slice together. The second value is collaboration. Take the time to discover the gifts and talents that each student brings to the group, and that can vary from semester to semester. And then we build on that, and when we collaborate, we usually brainstorm a lot, and we come up with tons of ideas and approaches to every campaign, and then we have to whittle it down. And this is whether it's a student-proposed campaign, because we've had student, you know, we have usually a time when students pitch their ideas, or more than likely, it's oftentimes a campus-wide campaign, and we've been asked to try to engage current students on campus. So collaboration occurs in like small groups and one-on-one, as well as the whole group. And everyone gets a chance to shine. And I think these photos illustrate that quite well. And then mentorship. We foster leadership, so I support their leadership, and I'm there to add my advice and experience. Returning students are valuable in mentoring to new recruits, so we assign buddies at the beginning of each semester. And students have the opportunity, oftentimes, to work with colleagues of mine in public affairs. So, for instance, like if we do a video, we sometimes have our videographer giving them assistance on what to edit. And some of them have actually interned with me for the summer. And I work probably most closely with the co-lead each semester. I mean, really a lot. Like, I had to finally take my notifications off my phone because they like to do their work at like 12:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And so we've had 3 co-leaders so far, and I think a big component in success has been having mentorship from co-leader to co-leader to co-leader. Our first one was Ty Tran. Look him up. He's famous. He was 30 under 30 in Forbes for marketing. He is probably 24 now, and he was a first-gen student, and he was my first student assistant. Very driven, and we co-created Social Slice together. He developed confidence over the couple of years, or actually 1 year with Social Slice, that he applied to the business school at Haas School of Business and was accepted and graduated with a business degree. And he's also worked for Samsung over the summer and then worked for Apple before he had graduated and then there afterwards, and now he's at a local startup in San Francisco. And he mentored Carmen Zhang, who is currently at Columbia studying for her master's in strategic communications. She was a media studies major and also was accepted into the Haas School of Business and graduated with a business degree. She was first gen as well. And Carmen mentored Priscilla, who worked this summer in Seattle for Microsoft in a social media position. She likes to say that she's never had a marketing class before, only Social Slice. And she's our current co-lead. And finally, trust. Allowing collaboration to happen requires trust. That's something that has been a good lesson for me, is to trust the process. I was a very detail-oriented person before social, not so much anymore. I mean, it's good that I have that, but anyway. So I give them a task, and I encourage them to take it and run with it. And of course, this is after negotiating and trying to, you know, make sure that this is gonna be worth our effort. And then I check in along the way. I encourage good communication. That's really key. I say that again. And then I think you build self-reliance, and you strengthen the group as a whole. And also, don't forget to take time to celebrate and have fun. Here's a photo of us doing an end-of-year trip into San Francisco together. So just to repeat the 4 values. And now we'll go on to some of our fun and successful campaigns to show you the value of a team approach. And you'll see that success was all the more sweet as we embraced our creativity in spite of our endless budgets, very small budgets. So Snapchat. When we started our Snapchat account, in 2015, the students worked with our in-house designer to come up with our Snapchat logo, which there. The group then wanted to have a costume so that we could bring the virtual into a physical reality. The students named it Goski or Goski, because our mascot, which is a golden bear, is Oski. I didn't like it at first, but you know, I've learned to just go with it. And one of the students asked for some materials, mostly felt and thread, in various colors. And here's our 2.0 version today. Note the eye holes at the top. But this thing is really well made. She really knows how to sew. And this was a hit around campus, as well as in our photo booth at our yearly prospective student event called Cal Day, which is open to not only students and their families, but also the community as a whole. We have 40,000 visitors on one day and 350 events, and this is one of them. And I just wanted to say the Goski costume was created by one student, and it's being continually used now for the Cal Day photo booth, a yearly video project, various gifts, which are kind of fun, Snapchat stories, and the cost, $25. Halloween. Oh, this leads us to Halloween. So once we had Goski, we were like, okay, we Calified, because we're known as Cal. That's our other brand, Berkeley and Cal. We Calified Halloween, and we also Calentine's Day. And this all happened because of social. And so we wanted to promote our Snapchat account on Facebook to drive people to us, our Snapchat account. So last year, the team created a video that they wrote, acted, directed, and edited, and produced this trailer to promote our channel and the ghost being on campus. And just as a setup, we always have a little inspiration, and this year's inspiration was American Horror Story Season 6 trailer. Thanks for your help on me playing that for you. Okay, so the Halloween video, 5 students put this thing together in the group. We had a reach of 92,000, 140 shares, almost 2,000 reactions, 162 comments, cost zero. Okay, FSM 50. Anybody hear a free speech in Berkeley in the same sentence? Okay. I was going to focus more on this and decided not to for this presentation. Okay, in 2014, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the free speech movement. And this is an iconic photo of Mario Savio, who was a student at the time, standing on a police car with another student inside, preventing the car from leaving campus. And this was on October 1st. And those were all the students surrounding the car. We were asked to be part of this campaign, the 50th anniversary, and find a way to, one, engage students, and secondly, connect with the alumni who were returning from 1964. As I always remind my students, social, I think, is ideally about bringing people together in a physical space. So we brainstormed for at least 2 monthly meetings, and we created a long list of ideas, some practical and some not so. And we decided to use Twitter, because we thought that's the channel for revolution and protest. And we like to think Twitter is free speech, for better or for worse. And someone said, the revolution will not be televised, but it will be tweeted. So we had this idea for a live Twitter wall. We thought, let's rent a Jumbotron. Ha ha, on our budget? No, too expensive. Also, the time of day, it was high noon. It would be hard to read anything on a screen, no matter what size it was. And we, you know, while Twitter walls are often considered ephemeral, we thought, what about creating a physical Twitter wall? So here are some of the alums that came back who were speaking. They were there at the original movement. And at the same time that they're speaking, Social Slice is over creating a Twitter wall. So here's what it kind of looked like. So there, that circle is where the speakers were. And here was the Twitter wall. And here is where we attached a clothesline to a light pole and the clothesline to the oak tree. And then up above in the second floor, there were 2 students in an office. One was printing out screenshots of every tweet and posting them onto one sheet of 8.5 by 11 at a time. another student was collecting them and in batches and lowering them in a basket with a rope two floors down to a student who was collecting them out of the basket. So all of this is just kind of happening while there's this other big event going on. So it's kind of like this. And clothespin, kind of inexpensive. The signs are created inside, and that's a paintbrush. A paint stirrer. And so it kind of looked like this. And we had students putting up Twitter birds to kind of just give people more of an, this was like 3 years ago, and people still didn't, like people from 64 didn't really understand Twitter per se, but, and just noticed the string and the binder clips that I stole from the office. And then, so we reached out to alumni and members of the community who checked it out. And it ultimately looked like this. I think it was about 5 or 6 rows with maybe 20 or so across. So the Twitter wall, I think, not only engaged and connected across generations, but it also connected across media. It took the digital to print and virtual to physical. And, you know, we posted a number of things on Facebook. This wasn't just Social Slice, but these were some content, you know, some of our data is, you know, we had 1.4 million reach with 51 posts. Facebook had a reach of 350,000. Twitter, about 994,000 were reached. Our designated hashtag had about 460 tweets in all. The student-led Twitter wall theater piece was featured in various media, including the New York Times, the LA Times, USA Today, and the cost was about $25. And finally, I think I have time for this one. We celebrated the 100th anniversary a few years ago of our tower, which is called the Campanile, or Sather Tower. It's a very well-known landmark. So we brainstormed about this and decided to come up, well, let's create a Twitter account for the Campanile. And if anyone knows San Francisco, there's actually, the inspiration was this Twitter account called Carl the Fog. There's actually the Fog of San Francisco has its own Twitter account. And so we announced that the Campanile would start tweeting this Friday. The students came up with the persona that it would be an unknown gender, being Berkeley and all, we didn't want to get into that issue. Ageless, great sense of humor, observant, and with lots of stories. And the tone would be smart, witty, playful, fun, sassy, not snarky, celebrity-like, a character towering over Berkeley for years who has acquired some flair and attitude because there's nothing the Campanile hasn't seen, but not old in spirit or too crotchety, about 35 to 55, you know, mature and current. And I'm just about out of that age range. Okay, so this was all student generated. So perks of being the tallest building, yeah. So to the freshman at the Golden Bear Cafe who just dropped her chicken strips. And then down here it said, I did that once, it builds the immune system, the tower is watching you. I'm not advocating stealing my Carillon bells. But if that happened, would I get a campus parking spot, which we're known for my Nobel Prize? And that became an ongoing Campanile's, and they were all pretty bad, but they were funny. And then, so we reached students, and we reached alums. So the Campanile handle. The entire team contributed content in a Google form. 1 to 2 curators who scheduled the tweets, which I approved all of them. I mean, I had to check them out first. And total cost zero. So I've spoken about, you know, 4 kind of campaigns. Other campaigns that the students are helping me run is something called Berkeley Minds, which is our take on the humans of New York, which the students go and interview faculty and take a good photo of them. They continue to post or propose biweekly post proposals for Facebook, because often they're presenting content that I wouldn't normally see, or they're putting their own spin on content I would. And they are currently running our Snapchat account. So Social Slice believes in the power of the group to brainstorm, to create, to execute, to share, to mentor, to lead. We are greater than the sum of our parts. And I'd like to, in closing, read to you 2 quotes from former Slicers, The first one is Lillian. She's actually the one who created the Snapchat ghost costume. What does social media mean to you? Just a place to post a few pictures and connect with friends? To me, that's no longer the case. Imagine sharing campaign ideas with the team behind UC Berkeley's social media platforms and watch your ideas get executed, reaching hundreds of thousands of people. Whether it was running a Berkeley's official Snapchat account, starring in a Halloween video on Berkeley's Facebook page, or taking a trip to San Francisco with the team, every bit of social slice was full of challenge, reward, and gratification. It's social media with real impact on people around you and people you don't even know. And finally, Ty. Influence is the DNA of social slice. Members don't just come to ideate. You can tell he's from Haas. They are given autonomy and latitude to brainstorm, implement, and put their ideas in front of an audience of millions of people. That's the beauty of social slice. It's a think tank quasi-agency that gives every member an equal opportunity to contribute and turn their ideas into actions and tangible results. Not many universities offer this type of opportunity for students that we know of or that he knows of. It's been a joy to witness from afar how much social slice has grown and where members have headed in their careers. I'll take questions.
Hi. I love that you guys are bringing digital into reality. I think that's something that's really important for people to feel connected. So well done with that. But can you talk to us a little bit about how much time you spent managing this team, how you were giving them access to accounts, or was it on their own accounts that they were doing some of this promotion?
Right, sure. So basically, the student co-lead does a lot of the background work, so they're keeping me informed. So we have assignments at each meeting, so maybe it's proposing four tweets for the Campanile and some post, Facebook post proposals, or it's being part of a team to do the Halloween video. So a lot of that, they're expected to work 13 to 15 hours a month, so, you know, to gauge their time. It requires a lot of communication, and that's what the co-leader does a lot of, following up, giving warnings, that kind of thing. I mean, they need deadlines. Let's see, what else? The other part of your question. I don't believe in giving the keys to the major accounts, except for Snapchat. We probably wouldn't have a Snapchat account going if I hadn't trusted them to do it. But they propose what they want to post, and we review it. And it's not just me, but I have my co-lead, and there's also a co-leader for Snapchat who reviews. So that kind of helps. And this semester, we're trying to push up our number of posts per week to 5. And so this particular year, instead of having a team that's managing it, it's actually everyone has to pick a day during the month, and we're just trying that. So the quality varies from day to day, but it is Snapchat, and we're trying to, you know, our other platforms we spend more time on.
How often do you promote the application process? Because obviously students might transfer, graduate hopefully, move on. So is it on a rolling basis, or is it just basically you had your group and then they recommend friends? How does that work?
Yeah, well, it's a variety. They do recommend to friends, but we promote it. We try to promote it on all the channels before school starts each semester. And some people, you know, either, you know, they graduate and leave, or they decide that they want to do other things. So I would say, like, it's a three semester is the sweet spot. So I try to bring in people, especially love sophomores, because I think that they'll be there for at least another year. I think by senior time, I'm dealing with this right now, that sometimes they're kind of ready to move on, but they still want to be in the group because it's fun. But it's a constant balance of trying to make sure that there's the energy to do the work as well as having the fun.
Are the students paid?
Only the co-leader is paid. Yeah. Yeah, they're paid in pizza. So we pay. Yeah. You know, it's just, that's why I really am, try to make it a win. You know, it's really important. And I actually think, you know, I've been saying this all along, because we haven't had money, I think it's caused us to really be strategic on how to spend our time. And I think it's actually paid off. And I think it's also paid off not having the money for Social Slice, because it's made me try to make it as beneficial for the students as possible, because I do feel uncomfortable not paying them. I mean, if I had to choose, I would pay them, but I'm not in charge of the money. So, and I'm pretty much doing this with just the blessings of people, so it's, you know, I think it's a win-win.
Are all these students, do they all live on campus, or do you have some commuters?
Good question. You know, some of them would probably live some blocks off campus. No one's driving that I know of to campus. Okay. Yeah. And I will say one thing that I do wish, one goal I would like to, is to actually create kind of a scholarship so that we could have students who possibly, you know, we have the issue with students who get full rides, which that allows them, if they have full rides, then they can have the time to join Social Slice. But if they're a student in that where they need to work and make money, we're probably not getting those students as much. So I would like to see that be added.
Is there a lot of training that you do before you hand over the keys? And do you have some kind of code of conduct that they have to adhere to?
Yeah, we always do an onboarding. Whenever we bring in a new class, we do a whole hour before we do our two-hour meeting after. And it's going over expectations. We have kind of a, it's not a code of conduct, but it's a constitution. And it's like five things about, like, they will, you know, they need to communicate. They need to not, you know, they need to, I should have brought that. That would have been a good one. I can't remember the five things right now, but... But yeah, no, we impress upon them. And then, you know, when they propose their Facebook post, the next meeting, we actually have a PowerPoint. We show them how their post did. You know, so they're learning about the metrics engagement as well. You know, we're always debriefing. We just did another Halloween video, and we will probably compare it and contrast it to last semester's or last year's video that I showed you.
Hi, with the team so big, how do you communicate with them on a daily basis as their students? Or do you find that you're texting them more, like using WhatsApp versus email to send them information?
I text a lot more than I did before I started the group. and like I said, I turned off my notifications past a certain point at night. So we communicate, so they can reach out anytime to me or the co-leader. We try to encourage them to CC both of us on both texting or an email. But we created a secret Facebook group, and that's where they have to put their post proposals. They hashtag it PP for post proposals. So I'll go through that, or a student will go through and pick out what they think are some of the best proposals that then I'll put out on Facebook, usually in the evening. So the communication's pretty good. And with Snapchat, we have a team leader who is also making sure that everyone's following through on their commitment. So that's where last year we tried this whole team approach where we actually had like a Halloween team, we had a gifts making team, we had a post proposals team, a Berkeley Minds team. This time we're trying to narrow down what we're trying to do and have everyone trying it, because we actually brought in almost more than half new people because we had a lot that graduated. So it's an interest, you know, and it, every semester I'm always trying to like change something or improve, you know, improve something, not make it worse, but you know, we're constantly tweaking it. And it's due to feedback that we get too from the students.
Hi, so is all of UC Berkeley, like all of the content that you're putting out on social media from these students, or are you also doing some, like what percentage, how does that work?
I would say this is maybe, aside from Snapchat, Instagram is entirely crowdsourced. We have a Berkeley POV hashtag that I started 4 years ago, and now it's pretty much self-sustaining on its own. I get 10 posts a day that I can pick a good one. We have that connected with a page right off our homepage, so it gets used there. Twitter, I'm mostly doing that, but I'm handing that off right now to a colleague who's taking that on for me, because I don't feel like I can do everything well. And so that's mostly promoting a lot of the content that the news team is writing into my office, as well as Facebook. So I would say that the majority of our content is still coming from our office or from around campus, but this is like, you know, supplements to it, and it's bringing in the real student viewpoint, which I think is so important. And especially Facebook used to be, you know, you were just trying to engage your fans, like 5 years ago, you were trying to engage who was following you, and of course get more fans. But now you're trying to reach your fans, right? So it's like a whole different ball game. So I'm doing less. I used to do 3 posts a day, and those did well. And of course now I'm pulling back and being very, very selective about what I'm putting up. Not that I wasn't selective before, but it's just, Facebook's just, you know, how it is. Any other questions? Anyone else got a student group like this on campus? Oh, I want to talk to you. You want to say anything about it?